You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Now, a new report released by Oxfam in collaboration with the People's Vaccine Alliance has shown that less than 49% of the expected 2.1 billion COVID vaccine donations intended for poorer countries have been delivered and administered. Up to 600,000 deaths could have been prevented if these figures had been shared at the previous G7 conference. This is a far cry from the 20 preventable deaths in high-income areas when said nations have had 40% of their population vaccinated. Canada and the United Kingdom have been the worst offenders with this, only donating about 30 to 40% of the vaccines they had pledged to distribute. Even vaccines that have been distributed have been close to expiry and therefore are no longer effective in inoculating vulnerable individuals. Poorer nations have also been unable to develop their own localized vaccines, as the major pharmaceutical companies such as Pfizer and Moderna have been secretive about their vaccine development. In light of this report, the systemic issues surrounding this mishandling, and the upcoming G7 World Conference, I sat down with Oxfam Interim Executive Director Joe Spratt to discuss the issues surrounding vaccine distributions and how the G7 countries and pharmaceuticals can do better on a long scale. With the massive issue of vaccine failures, why are developing nations not getting them fast enough?
There's many different factors into the equation and getting vaccines out to people, but you know, you've got to start with having enough vaccines and having them at affordable cost. So the problem at its root is the fact that big pharmaceutical corporations like Pfizer and Moderna are charging a lot of money for their vaccines and won't share the knowledge around how to make them. And that means other companies can't manufacture them, don't have like the recipe and the know-how, and make more vaccines, which would reduce the price. So we just don't have enough vaccines for the demand, basically, and it's being artificially controlled by these really wealthy corporations, and alongside that, wealthy governments like the G7, some of the G7 governments are helping them do that.
To go into that point a little bit more, I'm pretty sure the patent for COVID vaccines was meant to be open source, is that correct?
No, it isn't, yeah. So there's lots of different types of COVID-19 vaccines, and none of the patent is the protection of the intellectual property, and that is in place and preventing other people who don't already have the knowledge to be able to access it. So yeah, it isn't open source, unfortunately. That's one of the calls we've been making, is for the know-how and the technology and the intellectual property and to make the vaccines be open source and be shared openly.
The worst offenders, as you guys will put it, are the UK and Canada, because they've only delivered 39% of that. Firstly, I want to ask, where does New Zealand rank in terms of their distribution to the Pacific? And secondly, what has the talk been like around the G7 conference about improving this number?
Sure. So in reference to Canada and the UK, where they're really falling short, I mean, the UK has really worked hard to protect pharmaceutical corporations' profits, but the 39% figure you've got there is the amount of pledged donations of vaccines that Canada and the US have made. They've only given 39% of what they've pledged to donate. So that's where they're falling short on that front. New Zealand, in comparison, has actually done really well on our donations. We have donated about 1 million vaccinations, which is a lot for a small country. And we've got them out really well to many Pacific Island countries, Samoa, Tonga, Cook Islands, Niue, Fiji. New Zealand's been working really hard and has done an amazing job across the pandemic to help our whānau across the Pacific to get vaccinated. We've also been quite generous for a small country in terms of giving to something called COVAX. And COVAX is the global mechanism, if you like, for getting money and vaccines out to the poorest countries. So we've given about $31 million to that, which has been a really solid contribution from New Zealand.
With the second generation of vaccines coming up, the ones that are focused on more Omicron and any more stealth variants, what has been the pledge for sending those generation to lower income countries?
We're not even there yet. Still, the poorest countries on earth haven't vaccinated about 86% of their population, simply because they can't get the vaccines. So they're still trying to get the first generation of vaccines. And meanwhile, their people are still dying because they aren't vaccinated, while these big companies like Pfizer and Moderna make about $1,000 a second in profit. So we're really trying to just get the first generation of vaccines out to the poorest people on earth. 86% of them need it desperately before we even start talking about the the second generation.
And there's been almost 600,000 recorded deaths that could have been prevented because of this. Like, what's even the intermediary steps that we can take with all the delays that's gone on?
Well, I guess, I mean, for developing countries, for poorer countries, it's about those things like wearing masks and stuff like that. But really, they need the vaccine. And it's a failure of the wealthy countries and the global community to not have worked harder to get the vaccine out to these countries. And we can do it. We've got the ability to do it. It just requires the political will. And these really wealthy, powerful countries showing much will at the moment. So I think really it's about people calling on their governments, asking them to step up and help save lives across the world. That's probably what we can do at this point in time, and also donate to organisations that help in developing countries. So there's some of the things we can do in the meantime, but really we need these corporations to share their intellectual property, and we need wealthy governments to make them do so and to continue to donate and get vaccines out to people in low-income countries.
How could smaller countries like New Zealand, Australia, some of the more like European countries, how can they put pressure on the bigger G7 countries to get them to up their game and like assist with the lower nation?
I think it's in those conversations with their colleagues in those wealthier countries. First of all, doing the right things themselves. So New Zealand's actually in quite a good place to try and encourage and support and ask other wealthier, richer, more powerful countries to do more, because we're doing all we can ourselves. So, you know, you've kind of got to walk the talk, first of all, and then it really is about those discussions peer-to-peer to highlight the challenges that low-income countries are having and that we all need to pull together. Because really, until we get everybody vaccinated, coronavirus could mutate again, and then we could be seeing lockdown and everything again in New Zealand with a more virulent version of the virus.
There has been, as we've talked about, a decent percentage of vaccines that have arrived. But the issue is that the supply chain has taken so long that they're almost expiring. How is this showing the ineffectiveness of getting vaccinated, and again with the virus's ability to mutate?
Yeah, I mean, sending donated vaccines that are close to expiry is quite cynical, I think. And there has been agreement amongst wealthy countries that they won't do that they will send donated vaccines that have a decent expiry time, because it takes weeks to get vaccinations from the port to the health ministry and then distributed across countries. Some countries, you know, that don't have proper roading systems, that, you know, really struggle to get supplies out to remote areas. So we really need vaccines to be given with a decent expiry date. And I think most countries do agree on that. It doesn't always happen, but yeah, it is one of the challenges.
As you mentioned earlier, Moderna, Pfizer, BioNTech, like, they make $1,000 a second roughly on their vaccine production. How could like an overarching governmental body or even the G7 regulate that sort of power to make sure that open access to vaccines is possible?
That's one of the things we've been calling for over the last year. India and South Africa put a proposal up at the World Trade Organization to basically create the situation whereby the information could be shared broadly. Unfortunately, particularly the UK blocked this at the World Trade Organization recently, all over the past year and recently. They haven't been that helpful. We're really calling on them to step up and make sure that this intellectual property can be shared, that it isn't about putting profits before people, and that we get everybody vaccinated and save lives. And it's just about continuing to make that call and to highlight to those governments who aren't being helpful that their actions are leading to the deaths of people across the world.
That was Oxfam Executive Director Joe Spratt speaking to me about the failure of G7 nations and the major pharmaceuticals to ensure that people from impoverished nations have equal quality access to COVID vaccinations.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.